I would like to first of all acknowledge the privilege it is to belong to this wonderful church family, our wonderful Juan Turner church family, but even more so, the church family of God our Father. What a privilege it is to be part of a family. I also want to acknowledge today the wonderful talent we have in our church and thank those who organised today's program, who sang and played and prayed and talked to us and gave each mother a wonderful little bag of goodies. Thank you, everybody, for what you've done. And many of you would have been here earlier for a breakfast that was beautifully and deliciously presented to us. And why? Because to honour mothers for Mother's Day. For tomorrow, the 11th of May, the second Sunday in May, is officially Mother's Day. But first of all, I want to honour all mothers, especially mothers in our service here today. But there is one mother that I must mention. This mother turned 99 years of age last Sabbath and had her birthday. Myrtle is indeed the mother of our church family. She has done so much for our church family. And would you believe, at the age of 99, last Thursday, she was in the kitchen and she was preparing her famous stir fry for us at Friendship Group for our lunch. Well done, Myrtle, and God bless you. And you know, she said to me, there's only 51 weeks left until the great big celebration. Today also, I want to acknowledge that we have mothers here with babies. Some mothers today will be their very first Mother's Day. I hope those little ones have been able to go shopping and buy something special for them for tomorrow. We have mothers here with older children too. May God bless each one of you as you nurture and care for your children. But what I also want to mention is that we have the history of Mother's Day, and Anne touched on that. So why is the second Sunday in May always considered Mother's Day? Well, on the 9th of May in 1905 in the United States, a lady called Anne Jarvis died. What's important about Anne Jarvis? Well, she was a social reformer. She was concerned about mothers and the care of their children, and she set up mothers' clubs. Mothers' clubs to teach mothers hygiene and general care of her children. 2 years after her death, her daughter decided to hold a memorial service to honour her mother and mothers in general. This was held on the 12th of May in 1907, and her daughter decorated the church with 500 white carnations, which had been her mother's favourite colour. In 1914, President Woodrow Wilson, he decided that Mother's Day should be proclaimed as an official day, and he proclaimed the second Sunday in May to be known as Mother's Day henceforth. What about in the United Kingdom? Well, going back from the 16th century in the United Kingdom, they had what they called Mothering Sunday. One Sunday a year where all workers, servants, apprentices, could have the day off, a day to go back ostensibly to their mother church to worship, but also to meet with their families. When the folk in the United Kingdom heard about America and official Mother's Day, they adopted that too. Then it was only 101 years ago, in 1924, that Australia officially adopted the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. So how do we honour our mothers on Mother's Day? Well, Mother's Day has become very commercialised, as we know, with cards and flowers and gifts of chocolates and all sorts of gifts that mothers may get on that day. But most importantly, Mother's Day is a day when we recognise and honour the mother that God has given us. And we perhaps have family get-togethers, have a special meal to make Mother's Day a very important day. But how would we define a Mother's Day, a mother? One thing, of course, we all have in common is a mother. A mother is considered to be a female parent who gives birth to, or who adopts, raises and nurtures a child or children. But we have many other mother figures, great-grandmothers, and I'm so proud to be one of those at the moment. We have grandmothers and aunts and cousins and sisters, and I also want to mention that we have teachers. You know, our teachers have our children for, what, 6 hours a day, 5 days a week, 13 years or so to care and teach our children. Our teachers are very important in the lives of our children. But sadly, to some of us, or many of us here perhaps, our mother is but a memory of someone who is no longer with us. Just think for a moment about your mother. What would you think of when you think of a mother, your mother? Do you think of her appearance, how she looks? Would you think of the favourite meal she cooked for you? Would you think of how she cared for you when you fell over and scunned your knee and she kissed it better and put a band-aid on? Would you remember her love and her care, and how at all times Mother stood up for you against everything? I have a very special little memory that came to my mind of my mother. I was a little girl, probably preschool, lying in bed, about to go to sleep. In the adjoining room, my mother was playing the piano. My mother was musical. She loved music. And she would play my nursery rhymes to me as I went off to sleep. That's a treasured memory I have. And I'm sure each one of you have treasured special memories of your mother. Now, there are many characteristics of a mother. How we could describe a mother with adjectives could be as long as both arms outstretched, but I'm only going to mention two particular characteristics. Mothers love their children. Mothers are protective of their children. When a mother holds that newborn little defenceless baby in her arms, most mothers will have an overwhelming feeling of love and fierce protectiveness for that little helpless baby. And we see this in the animal kingdom. You know, animal mothers are very fierce and protective of their babies. Some years ago, we had a farm, a sheep farm, and at lambing time, if we went into the paddock with a ewe with her lambs, she would very often stamp her feet and look quite angry if you came near her. And if her lamb was far away, she would be bleating and calling her lamb to her, very protective. And a wonderful little picture is that of a mother duck with her little ducklings swallowing, following along behind. We see that sometimes around Blackburn Lake in the morning. And you know, God was very wise when he made animals very, very appealing. Little animals, cute, appealing. Look at the little lamb, a little puppy, little kittens. How could anyone think of harming or hurting one of these little appealing creatures? And this is how God feels towards us, because he made us, he loves us, and he protects us, just like we as mothers protect our children. And this brings me to mind Psalms 91, which is a beautiful psalm of protection, that of a mother hen with her little chickens. I'm going to read verse 4. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. What a wonderful feeling of the safety little chickens have under their mother's wings, and as we can have under the care of our Saviour Jesus. And Jesus himself used this same analogy in Matthew 23:37, when he talks about his Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, he cries, how often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her children. Now, what does the Bible say about mothers? Well, mothers, unfortunately, mostly in the Bible, it does talk about fathers. Mothers get sort of a second mention. They seem to feel that the fathers in the Bible are more important when we look at genealogies and the like. But I feel that it's important to mention Exodus 20, verse 12. Honour your father and mother, that you may live long in the land that God is giving you. Yes, fathers, a lot of what I'm saying today applies to you as well. But just remember, your special day comes in September. This is Mother's Day today. Isn't it interesting how the first four commandments are of our relationship to God, and the fifth one is our relationship to our parents, to our father and to our mother. God thought parents were important enough to have in the Ten Commandments. And then, of course, the other five commandments of how we relate to our fellow beings. Proverbs 31:28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Children, honour her mothers. So here we see a reciprocal sort of relationship. Mothers love, care, comfort, protect their children. You know, a little baby cries when it's hungry. Mother feeds it, and the baby will settle comfortably in the safety and security of mother's arms. As the child grows up, it appreciates all mother's does and comes to love the mother. Something that comes very close to a mother's heart is when that little one says, I love you, Mummy. And as children, we will sing, Jesus loves me. We grow up knowing Jesus loves us. But gradually, as we grow, we come to return his love. And when we appreciate all that Jesus has done for us, his love, his care, and his protection under his wings. And I had to include this very last text because mothers know that having a baby is not easy. This is in John 16, verse 21. A woman giving birth to her child has pain because her time has come. But when that child is born, she forgets the anguish, we hope she does, because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. What a joy it is to see newborn babies and watch them as they grow. Our children, you know, are the lifeblood not only of the world, but of this church. Now, I want to mention just a couple of mothers in the Bible. You know, the Bible does mention several mothers, but I've just chosen three that I would like to mention today. I must start with the first mother, Eve, the first woman, the first wife, the first mother. In fact, Eve is your mother, our mother, the mother of all of us. In Genesis 4:1, Eve says, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." That was Cain. What a delight she must have felt when she held that new little baby. But then what sadness followed when we have the first murder, when Cain kills his brother Abel. But then in Genesis 4:25, Eve will say, "God has granted me another child in the place of Abel since Cain killed him," that son being Seth. You know, Eve did not have it easy. She was tempted. She succumbed to the devil, just as often we are. She was cast out of the Garden of Eden. She had the sorrow of a son killing another. You know, Eve was not perfect, although she was our mother. None of us are perfect. But aren't we fortunate that we do have salvation for each one of us? And as we look back to the beginning of the Bible, we remember Eve as the mother of us all. Something we all have in common. And you know, sadly, the results of her actions are still with us today. But let us now fast forward to Egypt, where the Hebrews were increasing in numbers to such an extent that the new Pharaoh was so concerned, and he ordered that midwives should kill all baby boys. But when this didn't happen, because Hebrew women seemed to be very strong and had their babies before the midwives arrived, then the edict went out to kill all baby boys under 2 years of age. What sadness and grief would reign through the country at that time. And now I would like to read in Exodus verses 1-4. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months, hid him from being killed. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds on the banks of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen. What do you think that mother would have felt with that little baby in this frail little papyrus basket? Would that basket tip up and drown him? Was he going to cry with hunger and be discovered and killed like all the other little babies? Well, if we continue on in verse 5, Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the bank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babes," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." So here we see the very unusual action of this mother. Interesting, the mother's name is not mentioned in the story of the birth of Moses, and it's only a few chapters over in the genealogy of Moses that we find that mother's name is Jochebed. And I'm calling her Jochebed, a protective mother. She protected her baby. And wasn't it unusual to put that baby in a frail little basket in the water? And how wonderful that despite all odds, Pharaoh's daughter picked the baby up and took him home. And we know that Moses grew to be a great leader of the Israelites. And we can see how that simple action had long-lasting effects. Then I come to the most revered mother of all, and that is Mother of our Messiah, Mary. I would like to read from Matthew 1, verse 18. It's the birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. What an amazing, you know, we read that, we think about it, it's absolutely extraordinary, isn't it? That this young woman was to have a baby without any relationship to a man, implanted in her by the Holy Spirit, and she was to bear a son who she was going to call Jesus to save the people from their sins. And here we think of young Mary, and she, one of the things that she says in Luke 1, 46 to 49, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Now from then on, all generations will call me blessed." What a prophecy. Even to this day, Mary is called blessed. What a wonderful story of this young mother. And she had to give birth to her baby in a stable. No midwife present, just her husband Joseph. She must have marvelled at the wise men coming and bringing their expensive gifts, and the shepherds coming to worship this little baby. And as Luke 2, verse 16 says, that Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then, of course, they had their flight to Egypt to save that precious little baby boy. Mary would have seen her little boy grow up, become a man, and be amazed at how he taught and preached and healed miracles. This was her son. How wonderful, how amazing. Her son had come to save the world. But then you come to the cross. How sad for that mother to be standing by the cross and see the man upon the cross. Her son, who had come to save the world, on the cross. And I want to read now John 19:25. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing there, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." To the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took him into his home. Do you think it's amazing that Jesus, in his dying hours of agony on the cross, thought of his mother? And she must have felt such anguish to see her son, the saviour of the world, dying on the cross. But on that Sunday, Mary Magdalene, and as I've looked in the Bible, it seems several different Marys went to the tomb that morning. It's not mentioned, but I somehow hope that it was Mary, Jesus' mother, that saw that empty tomb and knew that her son was risen, that he was indeed our Messiah. So we can see that the mother-child relationship is somewhat similar to that of Jesus to us, his children. We as children are first loved, cared for and protected. And then as we grow to know and love our Father, and then most of all our Saviour, Jesus. My message basically today is, as we honour and think of our mothers, let us remember the love, the care and the protection that Jesus, our Saviour, gives to each one of us. I want to finish and conclude as I read from 1 Corinthians verses 4 to 7. And I'm going to paraphrase this few verses. And instead of love, I'm going to say mothers. Mothers are patient. Mothers are kind. Mothers do not boast, are not proud, are not rude. Mothers are not self-seeking, not easily angered, keep no record of wrongs. Mothers do not delight in evil, but rejoice in the truth. Mothers always protect, always trust, always hope, always persevere. So today I want to say thank you, Lord, for our mothers. God bless our mothers and our children. But most of all, thank you, Lord, our Heavenly Father, and for your care and protection for each one. Let us remember that wonderful illustration of a hen with her feathers outstretched, wings outstretched, and the chickens safe in the refuge under the wings. Thank you.